Hey everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be taking a look at the finances of Shawnee Public Schools.
Yeah, that's right.
In Oklahoma.
Shawnee Public Schools, Independent School District number 93.
That's right. Yeah. And we've got a really interesting set of source material here. We've got their audit reports go back to 2014.
Whoa.
All the way up to 2025.
That's right. Yeah. And it's really fascinating because we can actually see, you know, what they planned on happening versus what actually happened.
Right.
And how those things matched up and where there might have been some discrepancies.
Yeah. And I found in looking through this that some of those discrepancies are really interesting. Like, for instance, just in 2014, in their estimate of needs, they had a whole section called Child Nutrition Fund. And I thought, well, that's interesting. We're going to have to dig into this and see what that was all about, how much money they thought they were going to have to spend on that and what exactly they ended up spending it on. But okay, so let's back up for a second. For anybody who's not familiar with school finances, can you kind of give us a quick overview of what kind of documents we're even dealing with here?
Sure. So essentially, we're working with three types of documents. First, we have the estimate of needs. This document is kind of like a district's wish list for the year.
Okay.
They kind of figure out how much money they think they're going to get and how they're going to spend it. To kind of keep the schools running and, you know, fund all the different programs and operations that they need.
So it's like when I make my monthly budget,
yeah,
but then I just completely ignore it and buy a bunch of stuff I don't need.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, obviously they're a little more responsible than that.
Hopefully, yeah.
But it's essentially, you know, their initial projection of how they think things are going to go financially for the year. Then we have audit reports. So these are conducted by independent auditors,
okay,
who come in and they take a look at the district's finances.
To make sure they're not doing anything shady.
Exactly, yeah. They want to make sure that the district is spending money according to the rules and that their records are accurate and everything is above board.
Right, right. So it's like a financial checkup.
Exactly, yeah, like an annual checkup.
Gotcha.
And then lastly, we have the financial statements.
Okay.
And these are kind of like the final report card,
yeah,
showing the actual revenue and expenses for the year. So it was where we see how things actually shook out.
Gotcha. Okay, so kind of looking at their plan and then how it actually ended up happening.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about where the money comes from, because I know that there's a bunch of different sources for school funding.
Yeah, that's right.
It looks like Shawnee Public Schools gets money from local taxes, from state funding, and then from federal programs.
That's right.
So let's start with local taxes.
Mm.
What is that even, like, where is that money coming from?
So local taxes, the majority of that is going to come from property taxes.
Okay.
And, you know, it's interesting because property values can really vary from place to place.
Yeah.
So wealthier neighborhoods are going to generate more property tax revenue.
Right.
And that money then goes to the local schools.
So, like, if my property value goes up because I just put in a new kitchen, am I, like, single-handedly funding a new school library?
Not quite that directly, but you are contributing.
Okay, well, good to know, because I'm about to remodel my whole house.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, so then we've got state funding. What is that all about?
So state funding, it's a big chunk of money.
Okay.
That comes from the state government, and it's based on a whole bunch of formulas and policies.
Okay.
But essentially they get money per student.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some additional revenue that comes from things like motor vehicle taxes. And, you know, the amount of state funding can really change from year to year, depending on the state's budget.
Gotcha. Okay. And then the last one we've got is federal programs. And we see this a lot in the reports, things like child nutrition and other specific programs. So what is that about?
Yeah. So the federal government chips in money for specific programs.
Okay.
Like school meals, special education, things like that.
Okay.
And these programs can also change a lot depending on, you know, what's happening in Washington.
Right, right. Gotcha. Okay, so we've got the incoming money all sorted out. Now let's get to the fun part, the spending.
Yes, the spending.
So what are the big ticket items for Shawnee Public Schools? Like, where does all that money actually go?
So the biggest chunk of their budget usually goes to instruction.
Okay.
And that includes things like teacher salaries, classroom supplies,
mm-hmm,
textbooks, you know, all the things that directly impact what's happening in the classroom.
Right. We can't have learning without teachers.
Exactly.
Okay. So then what's the next big category?
So after instruction, a significant portion also goes to support services.
Okay.
And that covers a lot of ground. So things like school administration, transportation maintenance.
Right.
You know, even the folks who keep the lights on and the buildings clean.
Oh, right. Because somebody has to make sure those school buses run on time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What other categories are there?
Well, we already touched on the child nutrition program.
Right.
That's a pretty significant expense as well.
Okay.
And then you have capital projects.
Right.
And this is where it gets really interesting, because this is where we see spending on big things like building new schools, renovating old ones, or upgrading technology.
Right. So if they need a whole bunch of new computers or they need to build a new gymnasium, that would fall under that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And sometimes they'll actually sell property too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we actually see an example of that in 2016.
Oh, what did they sell?
So in the 2016 report, they made over $1,300 from selling something. And it just says school property under bond 2010.
Oh, wow.
We don't know exactly what it was.
That's a mystery. What was it, a school bus? An old school bus?
I don't know. Maybe it was a mountain of outdated textbooks.
Or like one of those giant pencil statues that they have in front of some schools?
Maybe. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Okay, well, we might have to leave that one as a mystery, but now I'm even more curious about those building bonds that you mentioned earlier, because it sounds like they're taking out loans to build stuff.
That's exactly what they are. Yeah. They're essentially mortgages for school buildings.
Okay.
So if they decide they need a new gymnasium, they can issue a bond to raise the money for that construction.
Okay. And so are they paying that back for like 30 years?
Well, it depends on the terms of the bond.
Okay.
But yeah, they can definitely stretch over many years.
Okay. And so that adds to the district's overall debt.
Right. It does. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. But it also allows them to build those cool new things without having all the cash up front.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why bonds are a really important tool for school districts.
Gotcha. Okay. And what about those sinking funds that I keep seeing mentioned, though? Are those like the rainy day fund?
Yeah, so it's a special savings account that they specifically use for those big future expenses.
Right.
So they put money in each year
to
make sure they have enough to pay off those bonds when they come due or to cover major renovations.
So it's like they're saving up for a new roof on the school while also paying off a loan for the building itself.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so it's all about juggling.
Juggling, yeah. It's a delicate balancing act.
Gotcha. Okay, so I think we've got the basics down. We've got money coming in from taxes, state funding, federal government.
Right.
And then it's going out for all these different things, instruction support services, food building projects. And then they've got these special funds for managing debt and saving for the future.
Yeah.
Am I getting the hang of this?
You're doing great. Yeah. You've got the key pieces of the puzzle now. The real fun begins when we start putting those pieces together.
Okay.
And looking at, you know, did they overestimate their income?
Right.
Did they underestimate their expenses? How did those things all shake out in reality?
Okay. I am officially hooked. I am ready to dive in and see what they were planning on versus what actually happened.
All right, let's do it.
Let's get into those numbers.
Let's crunch some numbers. Okay, so let's start by looking at 2015.
Okay.
This is where we really start to see the difference between their estimate of needs and what actually happened.
Okay, hit me with it.
All right, so in 2015, they projected a total revenue of just over $27 million, but they planned on spending almost $31 million.
Wait, so they thought they were going to be almost $4 million short.
That's right. Yeah, it's a pretty significant gap.
Yeah, that's like planning a road trip and forgetting to factor in gas.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Okay, so well, what happened? Did they have to like cut a bunch of programs, or did they actually end up getting more money than they thought?
Well, let's see. So their actual revenue ended up being a little over $26.5 million, so a little bit under their projection.
Okay.
Which isn't too surprising.
Right.
And on the spending side, they spent roughly $26.4 million.
Hold on. So they actually ended up with a surplus?
They did, yeah.
Even though they thought they were going to be in the hole by like $4
million? Yeah, it's pretty interesting, right?
Yeah. How is that even possible?
Well, it just goes to show that, you know, these estimates are just estimates.
Okay.
The real world is full of surprises.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, let's jump ahead a couple of years to 2017.
Okay.
Because it looks like this was a year where they projected their biggest deficit yet, over $1 million.
Right.
Were they planning like a massive spending spree, or were they just being extra cautious?
Well, let's take a look. So they estimated their revenue at a little over $31 million.
Okay.
But planned on spending over $32 million. So yeah, it looks like they're bracing themselves for a tough year.
Okay. So did they have to like raid the sinking funds, or did those bonds come back to bite them?
Well, not quite. So their actual revenue ended up exceeding their projection, coming in at over $31.1 million.
Wow. So they actually brought in more money than they thought.
They did. Yeah.
But what about the expenses?
So they did end up spending more than they projected, with expenses totaling around $31.8 million.
Okay, so they still had a deficit, but it was a lot smaller than they thought it was going to be.
That's right. Yeah, much smaller.
Okay, well, that's got to be a relief.
Definitely.
I'm noticing a pattern here. It seems like they're pretty good at getting more revenue than they expect, but then they consistently underestimate their expenses.
Yeah, that's a really good observation, and that's a question that we should definitely be asking. Why are they underestimating their spending?
Yeah, is it like, are they missing something in their planning process? Or is it just kind of the nature of school finances where there's always unexpected costs popping up?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely tricky. You know, they can't always predict when a pipe is going to burst or when enrollment is going to suddenly spike.
Right, or how much those school buses are going to cost to fill up with gas every day.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so many factors that can impact their spending.
Okay, I'm starting to feel a little overwhelmed here. It's like trying to balance a budget on a seesaw.
I know it's a lot to keep track of, but that's where those tools that we talked about earlier, like sinking funds and building bonds, come in.
Right.
You know, they're really important for managing those long-term expenses and making sure they can make big investments without throwing their whole budget off balance.
Right. The special funds are like their financial safety net.
Exactly.
But even with those tools, it seems like they're constantly walking a tightrope.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's a delicate dance, for sure.
Speaking of delicate dance, let's talk about those building bonds.
Okay.
Because we saw that in 2014, they issued a bunch for almost $1.9 million. So did they just keep racking up debt year after year?
Not exactly. So if we look at the sinking fund accounts in subsequent years, we can see how they managed those bonds.
Okay.
You know, they were making regular payments, chipping away at that debt over time.
So the sinking fund was like their dedicated bond repayment account.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's not just about taking on the debt, it's about having a plan to pay it off.
Right, responsibility.
Right. But what happens if they can't make those payments? Do they get like a financial timeout?
Well, that's a really good question, and it gets to the heart of why these financial reports are so important. You know, they provide transparency and accountability.
Right.
If a school district were to consistently miss bond payments or mismanage funds, it would raise red flags for auditors and could even impact their credit rating, making it harder to borrow money in the future.
Whoa. So there are serious consequences.
Yeah, there are definitely consequences for not playing by the
It's
rules.
like a game of financial Jenga. You pull out the wrong piece and the whole thing could collapse.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for citizens to understand these reports and to hold their elected officials accountable.
Yeah, I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. It's not just about numbers on a page, it's about how those numbers impact real people.
Yeah.
You know, the students, the teachers, the entire community.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm ready to keep digging and see what other financial adventures await us in the Shawnee Public Schools saga.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go. You know, as we've been going through all these reports and stuff,
Yeah.
I keep thinking about the child nutrition program.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in all the talk about, you know, bonds and sinking funds and stuff like that.
Right.
But this program seems really important.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about feeding kids, right?
Right.
Making sure they have the energy to learn and grow.
Right. And we saw back in 2014, they were spending over $1 million on this program.
Yeah, a lot of money.
So I'm curious, like, how did that spending change over time? Did it kind of go up as their budget went up, or did it, you know, get squeezed when things got tight?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see. So in 2015, they allocated just under $1.2 million
Yeah.
to the Child Nutrition Fund.
So a little bit more than the year before,
Right.
but then in 2016, it actually went down a little bit.
Yeah, it did. It went down to about $1.1 million.
Even though their overall budget went up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, it shows that, you know, even when they have more money overall, sometimes certain programs don't necessarily get a bigger slice of the pie.
Right. Okay, what about 2017? That was a year with a pretty big budget increase.
Right, it was. And the child nutrition program did see a jump that year, getting close to 1.5 million.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
But I bet that's not always the case.
You're right. You're right. In 2018, their overall budget kept growing. But the Child Nutrition Fund actually got a little bit less than the previous year, around 1.4 million.
Huh. So it really is a constant balancing act.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, it looks like the child nutrition program has had its ups and downs. Let's see where things landed in those later years. Okay, so in 2019, the program received just over 1.6 million, and then in 2020, it increased again to over 1.7 million.
Okay, so they were prioritizing child nutrition as they looked ahead to the future.
It seems that way. Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, when kids are eating well, they're able to, you know, focus and learn and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, it's an investment in their future.
Okay, Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We've looked at all those reports. We've spotted some trends. We've uncovered a few little
Just some
mysteries.
mysteries, yeah.
We've learned about sinking funds and building bonds and
The child nutrition program.
the child nutrition program. Yeah.
It's been a really interesting deep dive.
It really has. And you know, it's kind of amazing to me how these financial reports can tell such a story
Yeah, I know, me too.
about what's happening in a school district.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important for people to understand these reports,
Right.
you know, so they can be informed citizens and make sure that their tax dollars are being used wisely.
Right. Well, you've done a fantastic job of explaining all this stuff, and you've made it surprisingly fun.
Well, thank you.
Who knew that spreadsheets could be so interesting?
I know, right?
Okay, so before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with a little challenge.
Okay.
Imagine you're the superintendent of Shawnee Public Schools. You're looking at all these projections and you know, there are all these unknowns on the horizon. What are some things that you would do to make sure that the district stays financially healthy in the years to come?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, but I'm sure our listeners have some brilliant ideas out there.
I hope so.
So yeah, let's hear them.
Yeah, share your thoughts.
Okay, well, that's it for this deep dive into Shawnee Public Schools finances.
That's right.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, this was fun.
Don't forget to check out the show notes for links to all those fascinating reports that we talked about so you can do some exploring on your own.
Yes, and be sure to share your thoughts and ideas on social media.
Right. Use that hashtag deep dive finance. Okay, and until next time, keep those minds curious and those budgets balanced.
And remember, knowledge is power.